Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive with us. Today, we are looking into adapting the Montessori method, not just implementing it.
We're going beyond the surface, aren't we?
We are. We're going to be going beyond those iconic wooden toys to see how the Montessori method, while grounded in universal principles, can be tailored to resonate with diverse cultures.
Oh, we have a great example for this, too.
Yeah, the chowkee. A low wooden table that's used in Montessori classrooms in India kind of perfectly highlights how adapting the method can be practical and culturally sensitive.
It is fascinating. It's such a simple piece of furniture, and yet it can be such a great window into understanding the interplay of culture and education.
It really is. But before we get into that, we need to kind of set the stage here. We're going to go over some of those core Montessori principles respecting a child's natural development, the prepared environment, all that good stuff that we're going to be referencing throughout this deep dive.
Absolutely.
Those principles are the compass for educators navigating the adaptation process. So imagine, like, you're a Montessori teacher and you're passionate about bringing this method to a new cultural context. Where do you even begin?
Well, the first step, and this is highlighted in our sources, is to really truly understand the fundamentals of the Montessori method. Mm-hmm. You can't just simply like replicate activities or just swap materials.
Yeah, it's got to be more than just those beautiful wooden materials. You got to know why those activities are designed the way they are.
Exactly. It's about internalizing the why behind those beautiful materials. For instance, let's take the absorbent mind.
Okay.
This isn't just a cute term. It really is a profound concept that underscores the young child's incredible capacity to absorb knowledge just from their surroundings.
It's like they're little sponges. They just soak up everything.
Exactly. And this is so crucial for adaptation because it highlights the need to create a prepared environment that is not only developmentally appropriate, but culturally resonant as well.
So you're not stripping away their cultural context, but rather weaving it into the learning experience.
That's a great way to put it. And then we need to talk about sensitive periods.
Okay.
These are specific periods in a child's development when they are particularly receptive to learning certain skills. You know, there's a sensitive period for language development. There's another one for movement and so on and so forth.
Now, are those sensitive periods universal? Do they apply to children regardless?
That's right.
Okay.
They do apply to children regardless of their cultural background, but the way those sensitive periods are manifested and supported, that can be influenced by cultural practices and beliefs.
Ah, so that's where the challenge of adaptation comes in.
Exactly. An educator really needs to understand how cultural norms might interact with those sensitive periods.
Okay, give me an example.
Sure. Let's say a culture places a very high value on, let's say, early independence. The educator might adapt activities to provide more opportunities for, you know, self-directed learning to support that value.
So it's like finding those delicate points of intersection between the universality of child development and the uniqueness of cultural practices.
Exactly. And of course, then there's the prepared environment, which is arguably one of the most important elements in Montessori education.
Yeah, the classroom itself becomes a teacher in a way, guiding the child's exploration.
Precisely. But the prepared environment isn't a static concept.
Right.
It needs to be a reflection of the children's world,
yeah.
A space that feels both familiar and inviting to those children.
So going back to our chowkee, it's not just a low table. It's a carefully chosen element within the prepared environment.
It is.
So how does it reflect this idea of cultural adaptation?
Well, the chowkee embodies several layers of cultural sensitivity.
Okay.
First, it's low to the ground.
Right.
And in many Indian cultures, sitting on the floor is actually a sign of respect, particularly towards elders.
I did not know that.
So the chowkee kind of subtly reinforces that cultural value.
Oh, that's clever. It's like a hidden curriculum,
yeah.
Like woven into the furniture.
And then there's the social aspect. Children often gather around the chowkee, often working together on activities. This, again, reflects the importance of community and collaboration in many Indian cultures.
It's not just about learning individually, it's about learning as a collective.
Exactly. And the activities themselves, you'll see this in the source material, are often rooted in practical life skills, things that are valued within the Indian culture, things like pouring, folding napkins, working with small objects, things like that.
So it's about taking those everyday actions, like you said, and elevating them into meaningful learning experiences that resonate with their background, you know, with the child's cultural background.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the key takeaway. The success of the chowkee isn't just about the object itself. It embodies those deeper Montessori principles that we talked about earlier. The choice of the chowkee demonstrates a deep understanding of the absorbent mind, the sensitive periods, and the need for a culturally relevant, prepared environment.
It's like the Chowkey is this tangible symbol of what it means to truly adapt the Montessori method.
And that brings us to another critical point, which is the absolute importance of working with well-trained and experienced Montessori teachers.
Right.
They are the ones who bring this understanding to life in the classroom.
It makes me think of that saying, a good teacher can teach anywhere.
Right.
But in the Montessori context, it's more nuanced than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. A Montessori teacher needs more than just general pedagogical skills.
Right.
They need a deep understanding of the Montessori philosophy. They need to understand the child's developmental stages and the ability to observe and adapt their approach to meet the needs of individual children within, again, a very specific cultural context.
So it's not just about being a good teacher. It's about being a good Montessori teacher.
Exactly.
Someone who can kind of skillfully navigate those complexities of adapting this method to different cultural settings.
That's a great way to put it.
And that's why training is so crucial.
It is.
Which is another key point highlighted in our sources. Montessori teacher training is incredibly comprehensive. It delves into child development, observation techniques, and the precise presentation of materials, all within the framework of the Montessori philosophy.
Yes.
So it sounds rigorous.
It is rigorous, but that rigor is essential because it equips teachers with the knowledge and skills they need to effectively adapt the method.
So they need to understand the why behind the what and the how.
That's right. And that level of understanding is what empowers teachers to make informed decisions about, you know, which activities to adapt, how to adapt them, what materials to use, all while staying true to those core principles of the Montessori method.
It's like they need to become master weavers, right?
Yeah.
Blending the threads of Montessori philosophy with the vibrant colors of the child's culture.
That's beautiful. And that actually brings us to another fascinating aspect of adaptation, the adaptation of the training itself.
Okay.
How do we prepare Montessori teachers to work effectively in such diverse cultural settings while upholding the integrity of the method?
That's a question that requires its own deep dive.
Absolutely. It highlights the dynamic nature of Montessori education, a constant evolution to meet the needs of children from all walks of life, while remaining true to its founding principles.
So we've laid the groundwork. We explored the key principles that guide adaptation, the crucial role of well-trained Montessori teachers, and now let's dive into some specific examples of how these principles are put into practice.
Sounds good.
Let's start with an activity that's often seen as the cornerstone of Montessori education, practical life exercises. What can we learn from how these activities are adapted across cultures?
That is where we'll pick up in part 2 of our deep dive.